Like to ask you to turn to Romans chapters 1 through 3 as we go into our time of confession. These are probably three chapters that talk about the depravity of man, maybe more than any three in a row. So not good news. I teach Romans starting Tuesday from about, August through September. Whew, some rough times, 1 through 3. But as we understand our own depravity, what Mark's talking today about is God receiving glory for our salvation and for our justification. And so as we understand our depravity better, I'm convinced that the Lord will receive more glory from our lives, and we will be more apt to give him glory. It did start with good news in 16. Let's start there, and we're going to skip around a little bit in 1 through 3. But the theme of Romans really is 16 and 17 there, and none of this needs a lot of commentary, so we'll kind of let the Bible do the work today in our hearts. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And so, certainly, we don't want to be ashamed of the gospel, and it's by faith. We have been saved by faith. And here in verse 18 is where Paul really sets his aim on our hearts to show us who we really are apart from Christ. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of this world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men, birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in their lusts of their heart to impurity, so to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Look, if you would, down there in verse 30. Well, even maybe 29, 28. Since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up. In 24, God gave them up for just incredibly, almost sad words, I think. 26, God gave them up. 28, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they knew God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. And so those were the Gentiles. And then Paul kind of aims into a little bit of the moral Gentiles or the Jews. Look at verse 5 in chapter 2. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves on the day of God's wrath, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. And certainly the Jews didn't feel like they were doing this. Look down in verse 17, but if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know his will and approve what is excellent because you are instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking law. For as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And then 3, very serious verses. Chapter 3, verse 10. None is righteous, no, not one. This is who all of us are apart from Christ. And when we are dead in our transgressions and our sins, no one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. But look at verse 19 and 20, which leads us to the good news starting in verse 21. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So no one will get justified. No one can be justified by doing good things. And here is the most thorough explanation of the gospel in six consecutive verses, I think maybe in all of Scripture. Look at this. This is great news now in verse 21. But now the tide has turned. Now the good news, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Just in case we forgot, right? He gives it to us again. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the ones who have faith in Jesus. Have we put our faith in Jesus and him alone for justification so that he would be glorified? Let me give you a minute to pray and confess sins before him, and I will close this in a second. Father, certainly all of us have been guilty of suppressing the truth by our wickedness. Thank you for plainly revealing yourself through all of creation. And now especially through the special revelation of your word and of your Holy Spirit. And as Mark preaches, we do ask that you would give us great wisdom to understand our own hearts and the depravity that lies within, and then to race to Christ and you alone for redemption and forgiveness. I thank you that while we were yet sinners, that Christ would die. And I thank you that even though all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that you have justified us through faith in your Son. And we ask, Lord, that we would not look elsewhere for salvation, that we would not look for functional saviors outside of your Son, but only in him, only the true Savior. We pray that we would put our hope and our faith in him. And so, Father, we just confess that we are not righteous, that we have all together even become worthless due to our sin against a holy God. And so we thank you that you have now separated those sins as far as the east is from the west and put that condemnation on your Son that we truly deserved. And we look for you to do a great work in our heart through your word, in Jesus' name.